This is the Belmont Stakes Preview Show, brought to you by America's Best Racing. Visit americasbestracing.net, your winning connection to racing's triple crown. Now, here's Anita Marks.
I love it. I love it. Belmont Stakes Preview Hour here on 98.7 ESPN. You can hear it in the music. You can hear it in the excitement. And we take you to the Belmont. Why? Dan Torgman from America's Best Racing is there. And, of course, this stakes edition of the Anita Marks Show of 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by America's Best Racing. Visit americasbestracing.net, your best bet for everything horse racing. Dan, let us live vicariously through you. Again, we weren't out there last year because of the pandemic. What is it like right now out there at the Belmont?
You got me in just about 10 seconds too late, just because the fifth race of the day just went off, and it was electric to hear as the horses come to the finish line for some of these earlier races in the day. The fans back at Belmont cheering, just having a great time. It's special. It's really nice to have this classic New York event back on with fans. So it's spectacular.
Great stuff. This next hour, we're going to do a deep dive into all the horses that are going to race in the Belmont Stakes later on this evening. Around 2:30, Mark DiLorenzo is going to join us with his picks and his plays. And this first 30 minutes, Dan and I are going to do a deep dive into the horses. But also before that, there are two races I know that you're eyeing prior to the Belmont Stakes that you like. And so let's try to give some winners early, as I like to say, so some of our listeners out there could be playing with house money. So let's take a look at race 8. Scheduled post time is at 3:58. This race is called the Just a Game Stakes. So how are you playing this? Who are the horses you like in race 8?
Yeah, let's definitely try to pad the bankroll for the Belmont Stakes, right? So the thing with this race is there was a horse this morning who was withdrawn from the race who I liked a lot. The horse's name was Blowout, and that was supposed to be the main speed horse in the race. And so without that speed horse in the race, it changes the dynamic a little bit, because now you kind of look at it and say, well, who can get to the front? Because it's going to be harder for other horses now to come from the back of the pack in a race like this when there's not too much speed up front. And so I've kind of pivoted a little bit, and I like a horse named Summer Romance. It's the 9 horse in this race, Just a Game. Summer Romance, in her most recent race, won a race in Dubai. It was a Group 2 race, so a very competitive race out there. She got to the lead in that race, slowed things down, and kicked away. I think there's a very good chance she does the same thing here. And she's got one of the best jockeys on her. She's got Luis Saez up. And the trainer, Charlie Appleby, is a UK-based trainer. Also is bringing in, from England, he's bringing in a horse named Alfika. So that's the 8 horse. So he's got the 9 horse, Summer Romance, and the 8 Alfika. Alfika is a closer, but I've been impressed in what I've seen from her. She was in some of the same races as Summer Romance. In fact, she beat Summer Romance 2 races ago. And she's got a great finishing kick. And I think if it so happens that there is another horse that presses Summer Romance earlier, I think Alfika could come and pick up the pieces and potentially win the race at a nice price. The last horse I wanted to mention here is the 10 horse. So I'm basically 8, 9, 10 here, and I'll get into betting strategy in a moment. But the 10 horse, Tama here, comes out of a race last out where she finished second. The horses who finished behind her in that race came back last week and finished first and second in another big race out in California. I think she was running a good company there. This is her second race back off of a little bit of a break. And oftentimes horses run their best race after they've got that one race back off a long break. They run that second race. That's their peak performance. I think Tama here, the 10 horse, is sitting on a peak performance. So I'm 8, 9, 10. And what I would suggest in a race like this is to play an exacta. I like Summer Romance. So I would play an exacta with Summer Romance on top and behind Summer Romance in second. I would use both the 8 Alfika and Tama here, the 10 horse.
Fantastic. I love that. Taking notes as you speak. another race you like is the one right before the Belmont Stakes, the Manhattan Stakes. This is race 10. And again, post time for this is scheduled at 5:38. Break this one down for us, Dan.
Yeah, so this race features the horse who is threatening to become the premier horse in the turf division of horse racing. Of course, they race on the turf. They race on the dirt like they will in the Belmont Stakes. They'll race on the dirt. But in the turf division, there's a horse named Domestic Spending, the four horse in this race, who has won three races in a row, most recently won a race on Kentucky Derby Day, won the big turf race on Kentucky Derby Day. Now he's in the big turf race on Belmont Stakes Day. And in the race that he won, that last race, he had to overcome a lot of traffic. There were horses he had to run around. He had to get up just in time to win that race. And so Domestic Spending, to me, I think, with a cleaner trip, without all the trip trouble and the traffic, I think makes a lot of sense as a logical play here. But I want to find a long shot here as well, who you could pair up in an exacta, again, where you're picking the first two finishers. I think that's where you can make some money in this race. And the horse that I'm going to is a horse who's very far under the radar. It's the one horse, City Man. This is one who finished second last out in a small field, a race called the Fort Marcy. But the race was here at Belmont Park. It was also, like the horse I told you about a moment ago, that was City Man's first race back off of a long break. I'm expecting an improved performance in the second race back here off the long layoff. And also in that last race, City Man was a little compromised because the horse that was on the lead alone. Here, there figures to be at least two horses who might be battling for the lead. Those are Channel Cat and Tribuvan. And I think if those two horses keep the pace honest up front, City Man is a logical horse to save ground from the one hole and make a late kick that'll, at the very least in my mind, get him in the mix for the exacta. And so I want to use him with Domestic Spending. And then I'm also going to use the six horse Rock Emperor. So similar strategy. I think Domestic Spending is the best horse in this race. I would play an exacta with the four Domestic Spending on top of the one City Man and the six horse Rock Emperor.
Love it. Again, Dan Torgman joining me here from America's Best Racing, ABR, breaking down races 8 and races 10. As I said, you always love to play with house money as we head into the Belmont Stakes. So before we start giving out those picks and those plays and how you as well as Mark DiLorenzo is going to play that race, I love what we did last show when you were on and we had the Belmont, we had the Kentucky Derby special and how we really spent some time really doing a deep dive into the horses that are going to be racing. Granted, a much smaller field this time around than we had at the Kentucky Derby. But let's start with horse number one, Bourbonic. In speaking to you and a number of handicappers, not a lot of love for Bourbonic coming into this race today. Why is that? What can you tell us about this horse?
So it's a funny question because, you know, typically, and you know me, right, I'm always looking for the long shots, right? So you would think, come on, Dan, like, this is a long shot. Be interested. He ran a really good race a couple of races ago. He won the Wood Memorial, which is like the premier prep race for the Kentucky Derby in New York. So if you win that race, you go to the Kentucky Derby. And he did. He went to the Kentucky Derby, and he finished 13th in the Kentucky Derby. So you can make excuses for horses sometimes and say, you know what, he finished 13th, but he had a lot of traffic that he had to navigate through. He had a lot of trip trouble. He drew the 20 post. He was way on the outside, 20 horses. And now he comes back, and he's in a smaller field, more realistic for him to make a closing move. The thing is, I don't see that for a number of reasons. One, I just don't think he's that good. I don't think he's on the level with these horses. The horses that he beat in the Wood Memorial, Dynamic One, Crowded Trade, they've come back and not really run well. So they haven't, it's not like he beat horses in that race and then came back and won other races. You're like, oh, wow, he beat some good horses. I don't think he beat a great field there that day. And I think if he, you know, kind of, he beat those horses, doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to beat the likes of Essential Quality, who's going to be the favorite today, or Rock Your World, or Known Agenda, who we'll get into momentarily. So I just don't think he's good enough. He's on par with these horses. And also, horses with these late kicks, people think, like, all these horses, deep closers. Belmont Stakes, a mile and a half. The longer the distance, it should give them more time to close in. It doesn't always work like that. You don't always get these deep closers who are able to sustain a closing finish throughout the stretch of the Belmont. That's a mile and a half. They're usually getting tired around that time, too, and they've got more work to do. So, Bourbonic, no-go for me.
Yeah, and for a number of people. Now that leads to the two horse, Essential Quality, who I really like. This is who I think is going to win this afternoon. I know that, again, we had this very special show heading into the Derby, and we both really liked Essential Quality. Unfortunately, and I guess the big storyline there was really got roughed up and bumped out of the gate at the Kentucky Derby, and did well racing in between, but just could not regain that lead and of course win. What can you tell us more in regard to that start? But also, I know you and I have had a conversation before, even though it was a bumpy start, no pun intended, you were impressed with what you saw in the middle of the race from Essential Quality, right?
Yeah. Anita, first of all, I'm increasingly impressed by your eye in watching replay and picking up on all these different variables that, you know, usually it's only crazy people like me who watch these replays over and over again and take these notes. But you picked up on the exact thing that I think is the key variable here, which is that he not only had that bumping out of the gate, which is not ideal, but he also had to race wide. He was the widest of all around both turns. And so on both turns, if you could imagine it, just like, just picture humans or horses or cars stacked up, the wider you are, in a line, you're going to cover more ground. And so that's what he did. He ended up covering 68 feet more than his competition. And so that amounts to 6 to 7 lengths, 6 to 7 horse lengths. For perspective, he lost the race by only one length. So if he had a similar race to, let's say, Hot Rod Charlie, who was able to save ground and who was not wide, you can conceivably make the argument that Essential Quality would have won the Kentucky Derby by 3 to 4 lengths because he just ran all that extra ground. So I think for those reasons, I like him a lot. And also for another reason, I don't usually like to bog down, especially people who are kind of new to racing, with pedigree, because it sounds really confusing and you lose people with it. But pedigree, bloodlines, it really matters in the Belmont Stakes. In 3 of the 6 runnings of the Belmont Stakes prior to last year, when they ran at 1.5 miles, which is the standard distance of the Belmont Stakes, the winner of those 3 out of those 6 races were sons of a horse named Tappet. So this horse, Tappet, is producing consistently winners of the Belmont Stakes who like going 1.5 miles on the dirt. And so, guess what? Essential Quality is the only son of Tappet in the Belmont Stakes field this year. So I think he's got the pedigree. He's got the excuses coming out of the Derby. And he was also, let's not forget, he was 5 for 5 before the Derby. So he was the best horse before the Derby, too. All signs point to Essential Quality for me.
Love it. He is Dan Torjman. We're breaking down each and every horse that is going to race at the Belmont Stakes later on this evening.
This is the Belmont Stakes Preview Show, brought to you by America's Best Racing. Visit americasbestracing.net, your winning connection to racing's Triple Crown. Now, here's Anita Marks.
And again, Dan Torjman, who's with ABR, is joining us from the Belmont. And I really miss it, Dan. You know, wasn't out there last year, obviously, because of the pandemic. And unfortunately, obviously, we're not out there this year. I'm really hoping to get back because it really is. It's one of my favorite days of the year here in New York. You know, it's the one day as well. I get to mix business with pleasure and get out there, host a show for about 3 to 4 hours, and then shut it down and then enjoy like the last 4 or 5 races of the day. So I'm jealous. I'm jealous that you're out there. I hope you're having a great time.
Yeah, it really is. I know that I'm lucky to be out here because, it is, people are just starting to make it out to big events and to sporting events, and to be out here, I'm surrounded by a lot of colleagues as well and people who, I sort of take for granted after a while coming out to the races with them. You know, we've both been up to Saratoga. We know that's an experience as well, kind of just hanging out and having a few drinks and eating good food and watching the races and seeing all the beautiful horses. You kind of take it for granted. So just to be surrounded by good company on a big, beautiful race day like this, is just, it really is. It's something you appreciate a lot more.
All right, let's pick up where we left off. The horse number 3, Rombauer. From what I understand, its jockey was like, 86, I'm out of here. I'm going to Hot Rod Charlie. What happened there?
Yeah, no, it's as simple as that. I mean, the jockey of Rombauer and the Preakness, the horse that won the Preakness, his jockey, Flavian Pratt, decided to go back to Hot Rod Charlie. He was riding Hot Rod Charlie in the Kentucky Derby when Hot Rod Charlie finished third. He rides for you know, he'll occasionally and frequently ride for the trainer of Hot Rod Charlie, Doug O'Neill. So it could have been, A, in part, you know, having that relationship with Doug O'Neill and wanting to ride his horse in the Belmont Stakes. And it could just be that he felt that Rombauer ran his best race in the Preakness and isn't going to run another great race again today, or certainly not a race that's good enough to repeat what he did last out of the Preakness. I think that's my concern with Rombauer as well. I think if you look at basically his speed ratings in his prior races coming into the Preakness, he was running at a certain level that had him as, you know, a pretty good horse, a horse who could close ground. If there's enough pace and speed up front, he could make a nice finish and maybe finish second or third. I don't think anyone saw him winning the Preakness by 3.5 lengths before it happened. And, you know, I think there were some people who made a case that he was going to run a good race. The number that he posted, though, his speed figure was just out of this world for what he had done previously. And so whenever you see a horse take that big of a jump up or a step up from what they usually do in the race following that big effort, they usually regress a little bit, or we call they bounce, right? It's like having a little bit of a letdown off of a max effort performance. You know, you can think about it in any sport, whether you're a football team and it's, you know, the Giants facing a division rival, facing the Cowboys 1 week, and then next thing you know, they're playing a last place team the week following, and after winning the week prior, they'll show up and they'll bomb, right? I think it's the same thing. I think they may have emptied the tank with Rombauer.
Interesting. All right, that leads us to the four horse, and that is Hot Rod Charlie. Before we start talking about this horse, let's talk about a storyline that's very near and dear, I know, to you, Dan, with Jake Panis and the story behind Hot Rod Charlie and how the trainer reached out to his father, Stephen, of course, who's a big part of America's Best Racing, and said, listen, we want to dedicate this year's Triple Crown from Hot Rod Charlie to your son and get more awareness to his walk-on scholarship foundation that he's created at University of South Carolina. If you can, before we start doing a deep dive into this horse, why don't you share with us that storyline, please?
Yeah, so Stephen Panis is a colleague of mine. He's the vice president of America's Best Racing, and we're great friends on top of being colleagues. And, you know, he was dealt an incredible blow, and I think all of us have felt the pain every step of the way with him when Jake was tragically taken in a car accident last August. And since then, obviously, Stephen and everyone has been trying to find ways to honor Jake. And one of Jake's really, truly, one of the things he wanted to do the most was go to the University of South Carolina to attend. And so the University of South Carolina has been great. They stepped up and created a scholarship in Jake's name for a walk-on, for coming years, raising enough money for a walk-on to play the University of South Carolina. And also, he's done a lot. Jake did a lot of work with the Lakota Native American, basically a group that raises money for children, on Native American land. And so there are two scholarships set up, both of them in Jake's honor. And what the Hot Rod Charlie team decided to do was to raise awareness for both of those through Hot Rod Charlie racing in first the Derby and now the Belmont. So he's wearing a saddle towel with Jake's initials, JBP. So if you've seen any photos of Hot Rod Charlie on social media, the JBP there is in honor of Jake. And so obviously we're all just, you know, super, super thankful to that team, to Doug O'Neill, to the owners of Hot Rod Charlie Boat Racing, who, by the way, they're a great story themselves. Just a bunch of college buddies who kind of pooled their money together, bought a few horses, and it turns out Hot Rod Charlie ends up being a really good horse. He, you know, ran third in the Kentucky Derby, and here he is now at the Belmont Stakes, and they're doing a lot of good with their time on this run. And in addition to, you know, raising awareness about Jake, they're also donating a portion of their winnings to melanoma research. So they're just all over it. I mean, you can't help but root for them.
In regard to Hot Rod Charlie, there's a lot of money on Hot Rod Charlie, and there's a lot of analysts. Chris Felica, of course, who I work with on Daily Wager at ESPN, he's picking Hot Rod Charlie to win. There's a lot of love for Hot Rod Charlie coming into this race. Can you tell us why?
So I'm not one to generally disagree with the bear, but I will say, I, as much as my heart is with Hot Rod Charlie, I do see, look, I'll say this, whenever you handicap a race, whenever you analyze it, you try to envision a scenario in which the horse, you know, you end up landing on can win. And so a lot of that for me is tied into how a race will set up and who will be on the lead, who won't be on the lead. I think it's quite clear that Rock Your World, the seven horse on the outside, who we'll talk more about shortly, is the main speed horse in the race. Hot Rod Charlie is going to have to, you know, he's pretty fast too, and so he's going to have to go with him. Now the question is, if he goes with him and is used early, is exerted early, how much will he have left late in going a mile and a half, which is, of course, an added distance. He doesn't have a pedigree that you would think necessarily would thrive at this distance. And so I do have concerns about him getting a little tired late. The alternative is him getting to the lead, and Rock Your World isn't on the lead with him, and he ends up, you know, being able to settle things down and go slowly. I think if that happens, he has a better shot of hanging in for a bigger price for a longer time. But I just don't know. I do have some concerns because I think that his pedigree isn't quite at the level of the other two. And he's also, on occasion, like we saw in the Derby, he was right there late, but he couldn't summon enough late to get up and win. And I think now when you're asking him to go even further, it's going to be even harder for him to find that added kick that he'll need to get up in time to win.
The five horse, again, 30-1. Let's just skip over that. Known Agenda. This is a horse that I've already put money down that I think is going to win place or show. Now, I know an issue with the jockey, an accident that happened earlier in the week. Fill us in on what exactly happened with Known Agenda and its jockey.
Yeah, Known Agenda's jockey is Irad Ortiz Jr., who is he's the best jockey in the United States currently. He's won the top jockey award the past 3 years. He fell off a horse the other day. He's going to be okay, but he's out for 2 weeks, so he's not riding. And to replace him will actually be Jose Ortiz, Irad's brother, who's also one of the best jockeys in the country. He'll be riding Known Agenda, so an interesting storyline, interesting development there. Jose is just as capable as Irad, especially when he's got a good horse under him. And Known Agenda has all the upside in the world. He won the Florida Derby going away, did it pretty easily. In the Kentucky Derby, he had the excuse of having drawn the one hole, so he broke from the inside gate. And what happened was he had to take back, and he got shuffled back when he had all these other horses on his outside converging toward the rail. So he ended up having to pull back, lost ground, and then had to try to run through traffic late. It was just too much to do in this race for smaller field. And he has a great pedigree for this mile and a half distance. I think Known Agenda is a very serious threat in the Belmont Stakes.
And just to round it out, Rock Your World, the seventh horse, as well as I know Overtook is somewhat of a long shot as well. You know, obviously at 20-1, I know in our conversations, you do like Overlook quickly. If you can, break down these two final horses.
Yeah. Rock Your World has speed, could get to the front and get loose. He's a dangerous horse, but I'm going to bet against him myself just because, I'm not sold on him. He won one race. He won the Santa Anita Derby emphatically. That was the only race on the dirt that he won. And his only other race was the Derby and had excuses there, but was a no-show. So I'm kind of lukewarm on Rock Your World, but he certainly could be a factor. Overtook's going to be a long shot that I like. He hasn't quite reached the level of some of these other horses so far, but he's got the right pedigree. He's by Curlin. He's going to love the distance. And I think he's with a little bit of pace to run into, if the speed gets a little hotter up front, I think he's one who's going to be coming late. Not sure if he can win, but he's a horse that I think is interesting in the exactas and trifectas.
And last but not least, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We come back. Mark DiLorenzo is going to be joining us. We'll find out what his plays are heading into the Belmont Stakes. And then, as always, we're going to end it strong. And I love putting you in that situation because I've done this before. Come with me to the window. Come with me to the window. And then we go to the window. And I'm there. I said, okay, I want to bet whatever this guy's betting. And so that's what I want to do with you, Dan. And that's how we'll end the show strong because, even last time when we had this hour special from ABR heading into the Kentucky Derby, you definitely helped people win some money. So hopefully we can do that again.
This is the Belmont Stakes Preview Show, brought to you by America's Best Racing. Visit americasbestracing.net, your winning connection to racing's triple crown. Now, here's Anita Marks.
Bring in Mark DiLorenzo, handicapper as well from giddyupbets.com. Mark, welcome in. I hear you're at the Belmont as well. Hopefully you're having a great time as well.
I'm betting a lot of money on Essential Quality. He's going to be the favorite. He's going to be a little bit of a short price, but I think I can create some value by him being about 8-5, 9-5. I'm going to bet the horse on top. in trifectas, exactas. I'm not using anybody else other than this horse to win. That's number two, Essential Quality. He just ran the best race in the Kentucky Derby. He's training very, very well coming in, and he's the one horse in the field that I know wants to go the 12 furlongs, 1.5 mile distance on the dirt here at Belmont today. So Essential Quality is my pick, my play. The way the track is playing, there's no speed-type bias for me to be afraid of the speed horses kind of getting loose and staying on. As I've seen about 3 or 4 dirt races already today, there's no wind to kind of help speed as well, which sometimes kind of happens here at Belmont. So Essential Quality is going to be my biggest bet of the day. Betting to win, I'm going to play on top in trifectas and exactas. Underneath, I'm going to use number 7, Rock Your World, who's also training very well. Got left at the break at the Kentucky Derby. Completely draw a line through that race. This horse will be the speed. He's going to get a little tired late. Central Quality is going to go right by. So I'm planning on making some $100, $200 exact. The cold, number 2 with Central Quality with number 7, Rock Your World. Payout will probably be about $13, $14, maybe $15. Probably get 15-1 on that exacta. So if I have it 100, 200 times, I'll be a happy camper at the end of the day.
Dan, do you have any questions for Mark before we let him go?
Yeah, so like I said a minute ago, Mark is great because when there's a long shot to be found, he'll tell you. But when he thinks it's a favorite, he'll also tell you. He's not going to try to get too creative to try to beat a favorite. But Mark, you know me, I like to stretch a little bit. I like to find some value, maybe even underneath in the exactas or trifectas. So of the long shots, Overtook, France Go to Ina, Bourbonic, are any of those horses that you could see using maybe on the bottom end of a trifecta?
I think Bourbonic, the number 1, is the horse that I'd want to use. So if the pace does get a little bit hot, that horse is going to be doing his best running late. Throws a nice post to save ground, tip out. He's the number 1 Bourbonic. He's also trained by Todd Fletcher, Hall of Fame trainer. Todd Fletcher's got 3 horses in here. He's the one I kind of like the most. So he's the one I kind of use underneath to round out exactas and trifectas. But number 2, Essential Quality, is winning the Belmont Stakes. And even if it's a short price, we're going to put money.
Go ahead, Nita. I'm just curious. I mean, Known Agenda, I think is a horse who we know. We talked about pedigree getting the 1.5 distance. Known Agenda runs like a horse who wants a 1.5. It's by Curlin. What do you do with Known Agenda? I mean, for me, Known Agenda is a horse who I think is the only horse realistically who could beat Essential Quality. What do you make of that?
You know, Known Agenda has to improve. Known Agenda has not run a race fast enough to beat Essential Quality or a few others in this race. So that horse has to improve. Being a young 3-year-old this time of year, horses can improve quickly. So we saw him in the Kentucky Derby kind of have a no-chance trip. I was all over Known Agenda. I like the horse in the Florida Derby. I just think he's a cut below these horses. Because he's a Pletcher-trained horse, you're probably still not going to get value in a race. And, you know, Dan, you just kind of touched on when you talked about value, you could create value with a favorite. If you think a favorite should be 3-5, but the horse is going to go off 2-1, I feel that that's value. And I will bet long shots to it comes home. Known Agenda is probably going to be about 4-5-1. And because that horse has to improve 3-4 points, 3 or 4 lengths to beat Essential Quality or a few others in here, it's a horse that I'd rather, if he wins, I'll tip my cap and I'll move on to the next day.
Before I let you go, I know there's another horse that you like that, you know, you're talking about playing an exacta box, and that's Rock Your World. Tell us the reasons why.
Rock Your World, number 7, trained by John Sadler. This horse was my Derby pick. He got completely left at the break of the Kentucky Derby, had no chance after that. So just draw a line through that race. This horse has something that I love. That's high cruising speed. Horses that have high cruising speed break quick, they get out to the front end, and they go a longer distance than other horses can while going the same speed for a very long distance. Something that I really like. The problem, 12 furlongs is a really long time. This horse has never run, all of these horses have never run this far, but this horse hasn't even shown me that it can get 9.5 or 10 furlongs. So now to go wire to wire on a field like this, on a deep sandy track like Belmont is, it's going to be a little tough, but he's a definite use for me underneath Essential Quality.
Great stuff, Mark. Really appreciate your time. Mark DiLorenzo joining us from GiddyUpBets.com. Enjoy the race. I know you've been a big winner as of late, so hopefully that lady luck will only continue. Thank you, Mark.
Yes. Thanks, Anita. Happy Belmont Stakes Day. Giddy up.
This is the Belmont Stakes Preview Show. Brought to you by America's Best Racing. Visit americasbestracing.net, your winning connection to racing's Triple Crown. Now, here's Anita Marks.